guys. Welcome to At the Dinner Table. Again, as always, preventing hungry bellies one bite at a time, sitting here having good conversation with people who love to do what they do as much as I do. I'm Bert Dumas. I'm a chef, a foodie, and while some eat to live, I definitely live to eat. I'm here to share my passion with you. Today, we are going to examine dating culture and food. So we have some lovely experts that are going to take almost like opposing sides. I don't know. They actually might share some of the same feelings. But we're going to get answers to that and ask them questions. And we're going to just go at it. We're going to play around and then see how it goes and where it goes. So I have the lovely CK Alexander. She's a wedding features editor at BlackBride.com or Black Bride Magazine, correct? And then I also have Mr. Josen Cummings, creator of the blog UntilIGetMarried.com and New York Post dating reporter. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
I'm great. How about you?
I can't complain. Just so you guys know, we're sitting, I guess, at a lovely glass table drinking some wine that we've actually never tasted before. So it's interesting.
It's a good one.
What is it again?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, this is a Villa Wolf. It's giving us spicy and fruity all in one.
I do taste the fruity. You guys got to try it. It's a varietal.
2013.
Yeah. No age there, but
right.
Still kind of sweet. That's all right. We'll take it.
Is this
we'll
a
take
German
it.
Wine? Is it?
That's what the guy said. Okay. Yeah, he said it was a German wine. So, I'll take it. I'm down. So, thank you guys for definitely joining me today. Again, this is no pressure. We're talking about two things that we all love to do,
yes,
or used to do in
right
one of our cases, date and food. What do you guys, I know that both of you love to eat and love food, but I mean, what are your favorite things about dinner or just the process of eating?
What I love about eating is that, first of all, it's more fun with someone else, like most things in life. But what I love about eating is that it is the personification of love for a lot of people. The people that you love the most cook for you, like your mother or your favorite auntie. And you know when she makes that macaroni and cheese, it's with love.
Yes, it is.
So the best way to show someone that you love them is to cook them something good. So that's what I love about food and
that
dinner.
True.
Yes, it's definitely love on
a
plate.
Yeah, I definitely, the way I feel about food is I try my best to experience it, which it goes beyond tasting it,
mm-hmm,
which goes beyond eating it,
mm-hmm,
but really trying to experience it. And so I want to feel things when I eat it.
That's all right. Somebody turn on the air conditioner.
And that's just that. So I mean, there's plenty of empty meals that I have. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of empty meals that we all have, where we're just eating because we're hungry.
Mm-hmm. But, I've made many trips to Burger King.
Right. Yeah. But if I'm cooking at home and I have the time,
mm-hmm,
then I want to make something that I can experience. If I'm going to a restaurant and I have kind of, you know, not even I want to splurge, but there's no time restrictions,
mm-hmm,
I don't have to be anywhere at a certain time afterwards or anything like that, I want to go somewhere where I feel like I am experiencing something. And that could be a Burger King, that could be, when I go home to Seaside, California, where I'm from,
mm-hmm,
I always go to Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
I always go to get two tacos for 99 cents, and they've been that price for me, like, all my life, and I that's one of the things that I live for,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
when I go back home. So
for me, it's Popeyes.
Right.
Yes,
so
yes.
It doesn't have to be a deep, you know, multi-ingredient,
six-course meal.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an extravagant tasting menu or anything like that. It just has to be something that goes beyond the sense of taste.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear that.
Yeah, I'm an In-N-Out burger girl. You know, born in Inglewood, California. So
okay.
Yeah, that's my stuff. When I go to LA, gotta have an In-N-Out burger. Right. So I feel you.
Right.
I hear that. Well, I mean, New Orleans is known for Popeyes. I mean, Popeyes is known all around, but it tastes different in New Orleans.
It does.
People just don't understand.
No, oh my God.
It's spicier. I think the skin is crispier and crunchier.
It tastes
you know.
Real in New Orleans.
Well, yeah, there you go. I like that. It tastes real.
Yeah, they probably there's something there. It, home field advantage, right?
Exactly. This is true.
And not only that, the Popeyes in New Orleans is like the turn up for real because it's the after. It's the after club spot. When we went for Essence Festival, the line was outside the door at Popeyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be any different anywhere else. But people seem to think that, Popeyes is just the same.
Oh, No. Popeyes is also, there's a Popeyes near where I live in Harlem, like five blocks down on 145th Street. And there is opposite, so I'm on 150th, so opposite that there is a place called Charles Southern Pan Fried Chicken, which is one of the best places to get fried chicken in New York City. Not only...
I know where we're going after that.
That's not only... right there, you can go up there and then you can hit the George Washington Bridge, you'll be back in Jersey in no time. But the thing about it is that I absolutely agree with all the critics who will say Charles is one of the best, but Popeyes is delicious.
It is.
And it's so good.
It is, and the biscuit. I mean, you can't get a biscuit like that anywhere. It is.
Yeah, that is a little sinful.
Yeah.
They soak it in the butter. I got enough biscuits in my basket to last.
And it's so good that it actually makes the task of eating fried chicken at other places kind of
tough.
Because all you're thinking is this going to be better than
exactly. Popeyes? Am I going to like this skin?
Is it going to be better than Popeyes? Because if it isn't, I'm wasting my time and money for your overpriced fried chicken. You know, so yeah.
Well, tell me about, I guess, some dates that you guys have had. Just so you guys know, I'm the only married one at this table, which kind of leaves me out, but you know.
No, you should still be dating as a married man.
Well, true, but not like you guys. And both of you, I believe, are in committed relationships. So
yes.
it is definitely a similarity there between the three of us. But talk about, I guess, you know, dates as you guys have had them. And how have you incorporated food into that? I mean, I know how I did. But, you know, like what...
Do you
want to
start on this one?
I mean, there's so much that I can say just because I also set people up on dates at the New York Post. I set people up on blind dates.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the time, the places that I send them are going to be a restaurant.
Gotcha.
And so I don't try every restaurant that I've been to, but... There is, it's not like I just send them anywhere to go and eat. I don't send them to any restaurant. A lot of times, a publicist, because I work with a lot of publicists who represent a lot of the different restaurants and in the city, multiple restaurants in the city. And when they say, hey, you know, we'd really love if you sent a date here, and that place is in Midtown, like, you know, right outside of Times Square. Well, that's not the kind of place that I want to send them to.
Exactly.
And I look, it could, Del Frisco's is right up the street for me. There's not one person in the world that would tell you that Del Frisco's is a bad place to have a meal. It's a wonderful steakhouse. But again, ambiance and things like that matter because when we're talking about restaurants, that's different than talking about food, right? Like we're talking about an entire environment
that
you have to take into account.
True.
But that being said, I do feel like it's important for people to have like compatible diets.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't mix a carnivore and an herbivore.
You can't, the vegans. Or even, look, I don't want to discriminate against the people with those severe food allergies.
Yes.
I'm sure they don't like it any more than I do, but that's a difficult thing.
That's true.
But food is absolutely important to, so much so, I always tell this story, of a girl that I was seeing, and it was only a good couple of weeks, but we weren't too deep into dating one another. And she had told me, and I don't know what had brought it on, but she said, yeah, I'm just not that into food.
I had a mini heart attack.
My heart sank. Because she had, we were still feeling each other out, but it was promising. And for her to say that, it was like her saying to me, that I don't ever have an interest in meeting your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important food is to me.
That's real.
And so for you not to, even for you to have made up your mind in regards to your relationship with food, I just decided right then and there, we can't continue this because that's going to be a big part of many new experiences for me.
That's a deal breaker. So that's your deal breaker. Must love food.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. And as far as dating and food goes, I feel like it's the first level of compatibility. Saying, honestly, not just what you eat, how you eat. And I'm gonna tell you a funny story. My first date with my current boyfriend, I knew for sure that this was gonna be my boyfriend because I was comfortable enough to eat wings in front of him. I mean, barbecue, smothered wings, you know what I'm saying? If somebody can get you to that comfort zone where you can pick up some barbecue wings and eat in front of them for the first time, you know that you're going someplace good.
Right, then
have them join in with you, and it's this whole thing, I know it's messy, but, we're just in this comfortable space off the top. So that's what really kind of, set the tone for the rest of the date and the rest of our dates to follow, is that our relationship with food was that, we like to go in. We love to eat. We're both foodies. So if it's good, we're going to go in with hands in, all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. Back to your question about my best food dating experience, I'm the kind of person, I like to hop around. So I went on this one date when it was multiple food experiences. Mm. He was let's meet at a bar, let's have some drinks and maybe some appetizers here. And we went to this great, I'm about to tell you guys some secret New York City spots. We went to this place called Flute Lounge, and that's in Midtown, closer to Columbus Circle. It's real romantic, real dark.
Mm-hmm.
And we had great cocktails there, and then he was like, you know what? That's it, cocktails here. Let's go grab something to eat uptown. So we went to Red Rooster uptown. And I was like, okay, great. And then he's like, you know what? Let's go all the way back downtown to this great dessert spot that I know. This is on St. Mark's, close to NYU. And I'm like, wow, we just went all over New York City just having different food experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much fun because it wasn't just one restaurant. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just one food
Everything
experience.
Wasn't at one place,
yeah,
yes.
It was just and we're traveling and talking in between each spot and hailing cabs. And it just felt like, a real New York City date.
You felt like you was in Sex and the City.
Yeah, I felt like I was in Sex and the City. They picked me up. I had dressed hair. I had entree hair. I had dessert hair. And it was just a really great date because he understood that sometimes you can't get the best of everything in one spot.
At one spot.
Right. I'm trying to think of, I mean, because food is, the third party in my relationship, much like yours.
Yeah, I kind of think you need to ask, how's your relationship with your mama? And then, how's your relationship with food?
Right.
Exactly.
And then, I think my best date experience, and you know, we were already, my girlfriend last year for my birthday she booked us a trip to Austin. Mm. And I specifically wanted to go to Austin because you just hear so many great things about the culinary scene in Austin. The food trucks, it's like the food truck capital, the barbecue, of course, you hear about that. And so we were, you know, creating an itinerary based on places that we were going to eat. Mm-hmm. And her and I our approach to food, you know, you saying that it's one of the first levels of compatibility, it really is. Because our approach to food is the same.
Yes.
Where we try to avoid ordering anything we can make at home.
Yes.
Okay. Or that we would make at home often, you know what I mean? We try to avoid any common thing. A good example of that is mussels. You'll see mussels on every menu everywhere. Right. So you just kind of know.
It's like I can get mussels everywhere.
It's not special, right? Yeah. So we have this similar perspective and approach to how we do food. And one of the places that we were definitely going to, and we didn't even have a discussion about it, was Franklin's Barbecue. Now, Franklin's Barbecue is the most famous barbecue spot in all of Austin. So famous that lines typically are about 5 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Jeez Louise.
And we waited in line.
All 5 hours. Wow.
Her and I. We got close to the people around us and I, and it was a whole experience, and ended up having brisket that was so good that we continue to compare any brisket that we have to this day to that brisket. We wish we could say, you know what, it wasn't worth 5 hours. So that if we ever go back to Austin, we know we don't have to stand in line, but we probably will. And so what made that date, though, so great is just the fact that we were in that line together.
Yes.
And we were down to wait. She knew how important that was to me. It was as important to her. And it was so good that we had gone back. What you can do, you can skip the line if you're ordering it to go.
Gotcha.
You know, if you're ordering, you can wait in line to order it to go. Right, but that's like a small order. We're talking the whole brisket that they vacuum seal and everything like that.
My goodness.
And so we went back there before we went to the airport to go buy another one that we could take home. And it's like, it's funny because the thawing out and the defrosting of it and everything is a 2-hour process. Like, that's a meticulous process. They brought it out to us and they said, "Here's our email address. When you're ready, let us know. We'll email you back specific instructions as to how to get this thing to taste like you've had it here." So
I'm ready to go to Austin. I know. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Just make a day of it. If you get in line early, you'll be out by 2, but you will have eaten well. So that was probably the best experience that I've ever had with someone.
I've had several. Okay. I can say that I've had just one. For starters, on my honeymoon, my wife booked a private chef who took us on a food tour around Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't eat at one popular spot. These were all hole-in-the-wall spots. She's ordering in Spanish, you know, it's like, can I have this, this, and this? I mean, we literally went to maybe 10 spots and only had like a piece of something from each place. Yeah. I mean, a place where we're ordering, we walk in and there's an ice chest and you're picking the fish and then you tell them, can you, you know, fry it, broil it, you know, bake it, whatever you want to do to it, that's what you tell them to do. Yeah. And there's several different kinds of fish in there. You just pick the one that you want. Then you sit at the table, they bring you some Dos Equis, you know, and then we're sitting there waiting. The owner is, you know, because we're American, so they're like, hey, you know, we're popular all of a sudden, you know?
Right, right, right.
So the owner's coming out, offering us stuff. We did a tequila tasting on our first anniversary. It was, my wife was sauced to say the least.
That's always a good thing.
It is. But she swears she wasn't. But and then we had some tres leches. Oh, you know, man. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. We went to a place in what was it, Casiano's.
Okay.
I'm not gonna tell you the price because it wasn't cheap.
Right.
Whole restaurant. Opened just for us.
Oh, wow.
Just for us. Anniversary dinner.
I love that.
It was lovely. 6-course meal. Even they added on another one just to give us dessert to say happy anniversary. Like it was amazing. And in Los Cabos.
Awesome.
Or Cabo San Lucas. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but I'd have to say of them all, down home, cheap, Mrs. Wilkes, Savannah, Georgia. $16.99.
Wow.
Only open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you gotta get in.
Yeah.
No. We stood in line starting at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And we didn't get in until 1.
Okay, there you go. That's a Franklin's way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And we sat there around the table. The whole restaurant only fits 70 people.
Uh-huh.
You only sit with the people who you were standing in line with. You've been talking to them all this time, conversing.
Right.
Now they're your friends.
Right.
You walk in the door, everything that's on the menu is made and on your table.
Wow.
The only thing you have to order are drinks.
Wow.
That's my kind of place.
Yes. Yes. And after you're done, you get up with the table. Not one person just doesn't leave. You all have to say, are we all done? Is it time to go? And then you all get up, you bring your plates to the kitchen, and you leave.
Nice.
But it's amazing. You are full.
Nice. What's the name of this place?
Mrs. Wilkes.
Okay.
It's a little. I can't even say little, but it's a Savannah mansion.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Brownstone,
uh-huh.
And in a basement is the restaurant.
Okay. Yeah.
70 seats.
That's
amazing.
Haven't
found anything to top it. And I'm not going to say any names of other restaurants in Savannah, but I'm kind of mad that we went there after.
Right.
You know, we went to Mrs. Wilkes first.
And that's the worst, when you just can't top that one.
Yeah. That's how we felt about, because we had gone to another place for barbecue, another well-known place after. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
That's how I felt in New Orleans, that, you know, your hometown. I went to Mother's, and I'm sure you know that line is around the corner. And I waited not 5 hours, but maybe more around 3. And it was the best catfish po' boy I've ever had in my entire life. I had a side of jambalaya. And to this day, I can't eat anywhere else in New Orleans.
You gotta go to Mother's. I've been to Mother's.
Well, hold on, you gotta go to my Mother's, because that.
Well, I'm down. Look, you know, I'm down, but that catfish po' boy was the best I've ever had. So.
Yeah, you're right.
See, everybody's thinking about it. Like, I
remember
my first time in
Mother's.
I know, it's
like, you think about your food experiences, and it brings back so many good memories.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's why it is so important in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because there is a joy that happens in that memory, and it's shared with somebody, but you never forget. You never forget a great meal, but you also never forget who was
you were
there
with, exactly.
When you had it, you know what I mean? And I don't know, I mean, CK, you could relate to this. We know what it's like to get questions about relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
And everything. And there's like so many different things that you tell people to, so that they can have hope and they, you know, have faith that they'll find somebody. But it's like when you find somebody that you want to spend your life with, do not settle for just any kind of meal.
Yeah.
Make those meals special.
This is true.
Identify like what you like and what you enjoy, because if you treat food with that kind of respect, It will treat you right.
Yes, it will.
It sure will.
Yes, it will.
I agree 100%.
It really, really will.
So now, Jozen, you, I guess, speak more on dating and food.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas CK, you are more so, I think like Wedding Extraordinaire, you know, like blackbride.com.
Absolutely. And romance. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So while we're dating, yes, we take those experiences very seriously. We're saying, okay, we're gonna go to this spot. I mean, we craft the dates, yes, you know, absolutely, around where we're going to eat, you know.
Absolutely.
What about when people are planning weddings? I mean, I'm sure you've...
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, I love weddings because this is a great opportunity for you to curate some of your favorite food at one huge party. A lot of people forget that your wedding is actually a big party.
Yes, it is.
And you're inviting your favorite people, and you want them to experience some of the best food that you've ever had, mm-hmm, and maybe even some of the food that's important to you as a couple. You know, like Jose was talking about that brisket. You better have some brisket at your wedding. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So Absolutely. Maybe even if it's not necessarily from that place, you just want to bring people into those moments where you've had great food and you want to remind your soon-to-be husband or wife that, I remember that time we had amazing brisket, and that's why it's on this menu, and I want to share with your aunt and your uncle and your mom and everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, what I tell brides and grooms is that this is your party. So you're in charge of the menu. Do not go into a meeting with your caterer and giving them, like, you know, carte blanche to create something that doesn't have anything to do with you as a couple. Your menu should really take people on a journey through your food experiences as a couple.
Yes, it should.
You know, and I love when couples have food trucks and different things like that, or the appetizers. Like, my boyfriend is from Haiti, and, you know, we sometimes talk about our future wedding down the line.
Of course, I do too.
And you know, my family's from Trinidad and Barbados, so we have a very strong Caribbean background in our relationship. So we're like, we have to serve some kind of Caribbean food. Absolutely. To share with our friends and family.
I'd be disappointed.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Trinidad
and Haitian wedding, and I ain't got no jerk chicken. What? Like, what? Exactly. What's going on?
So that's on the menu. So, you know, food is a great opportunity to just help your guests get to know you better and help to display all the things about yourself and your culture and your relationship. So, you know, food goes a long way. If your food is not right, trust me, that's what everyone is going to talk about after your wedding. Not the cake, not the dress, not the decor. Yeah. They're going to be like, what was up with that chicken?
Yeah, what
kind of... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was funny because my girlfriend is Filipino. Okay. And her sister just had a wedding. And it was catered. I remember when they had gone to the tasting, and they went with a caterer based out of Jersey, but it was very much like locally sourced food. Mm-hmm. They were big on, and I remember really at first being taken aback that there was no Filipino food. Okay. And I was like, because her family gatherings, every single one of her family gatherings has Filipino food items involved, mm-hmm, right, in it. It may be other items too, but it's definitely some Filipino items in there. What I realized though is that they weren't going to entrust that food in the hands of that caterer.
Yes.
They let the caterer do what they, you know, they had choices and everything, and they tasted the menu that they ended up serving. But they weren't going to put it in the hands of someone. If they wanted the Filipino menu, they probably would have gone with somebody like that.
Yeah.
That could do it. So it made a lot of sense. And I just say that in kind of support of how you want to approach for your... You want to tell a story, but you want to make sure that the people that are making the food know that story. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? I got to tell you, my good friend, his wife is Filipino, and the most epic food fail ever for me, you know, was their wedding.
Oh, wow.
Because I took a trip out to San Diego, you know, to, mm-hmm, attend their wedding. We had a ball, you know, and then I got sick while, you know, like in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I missed all of the cultural night before things.
I still feel bad to this day. I feel so bad for you because there is to me, like, one of the greatest culinary experiences you can have.
Her mom cooked all this food. Her mom and her aunt cooked all this food.
Yeah.
I just
some things are not good. Like, so if you're going to go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and you want to go into the city, go to a place called Jeepney.
Okay.
In the East
Jeepney.
Jeepney.
Oh, Jeepney.
Jeepney.
Okay.
J-E-E-P-N-E-Y. And you want to go to a, if you want to try some good Filipino food in New York City, you want to go to Jeepney. It's in the East Village, or actually more, I want to say it's on First Avenue or Avenue A. I'm so sorry to Nicole Penska. She is the owner of Jeepney. But they have a great menu, a great, just really an accessible menu.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's Baloo, which is like fertilized duck egg, which
is not something you want to, even
for me, as adventurous as I am, no. But there is also...
Wait, fertilized or fermented?
Fermented? Maybe fermented?
I think probably fermented.
Because
fertilized, that sounds like a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but I don't know. That's why I need to clarify.
I don't know. But I know that Baloo is a very, very... It's extreme. There's okay. also a dish. Oh man, it's a stew, and they definitely still one of the ingredients is pig's blood. So
yeah,
like
that's you literally like sausage.
You literally have to like part of it is you will taste the iron.
No, see.
So those are some things, but
yeah, okay,
but. There are so many other great things.
Yeah, tell me about something good that I'm scared.
Katakata is they're almost like their version of oxtails.
Ooh.
But they incorporate some. It was just funny because I had some the other night, and I'm still learning about it. And I'll ask my girlfriend questions. And katakata, one of the key ingredients is peanut butter.
Okay. Mm.
So you get this like salty, earthy texture to it. And then there's of course the classics like lumpia. There's chicken adobo, which is excellent. So you know, yeah, the Filipino culture has such great food. It is one of the better food culture experiences.
I agree.
Oh, I can't wait to try. I'm excited
you
about
should.
That.
You should.
So that means we're getting an invite.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm there.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll do a little music, and then we'll be right back.
Touch on tonight. You'll make everything alright. And when you come wrap them chocolate legs around me, I need you to understand and make me glad I'm a man. Deep inside you, that's where I need to be.
Deep inside you.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, we have Miss CK Alexander from BlackBride.com, and we have Mr. Josen Cummings from New York Post, yes, and also UntilIGetMarried.com. So please check both of those out. Lovely sites, lovely people. We're discussing relationships, of course, between food and whatever else it may be, right? Whether it be people, somebody's mama, or or just that perfect meal that we've had. So we'll hop back in, guys. I mean, we were discussing, of course, the culture for receptions and people sharing those same type of feelings that they have for food at their wedding.
Yeah.
I know I had my wedding in New Orleans, and we had a lot
food
of
capital.
Food.
Oh my God, that's
yes.
such a great place to have a wedding.
Yes, and yeah. it was amazing. We don't remember it, you know, because it just went by so quick. But it was lovely. The cake, my mom gave us this spot that they used for their wedding cake, and so we were like, okay, well, we'll go there, we'll visit that, you know. Yeah, no, they were like, oh, we only do white cake. And then the white cake was dry, you know, and we wanted flavors. We wanted, you know, my mother-in-law requested lemon, you know, my mom requested, well, my mom likes lemon too. I think my dad wanted carrot and my wife wanted chocolate, and, you know, so it was just like all these different flavors that we wanted to incorporate, and no one would do it. We found this wonderful spot, La Louisiane, and by God, first of all, when we walked in, the woman and I connected, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's a pastry chef, I'm a pastry chef, you know, we're going at it, and she's just, I'm like, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. Are you moving to New Orleans? Because I'd love to, you know, I'm like, no, not coming back. But the cake was awesome. The icing was awesome. She even did, for groom's cakes, I did king cakes.
Oh.
You know, so, you know, we had to kind of play at it, you know, and give me being a pastry chef, I couldn't fathom the cake being nasty. I wanted everything about it to be perfect.
And of course.
Now, you know, my wife would kill me if, you know, she hears this, but I don't remember all the flavors that were in between in the cakes. But it was gorgeous. Right. It tasted good as well as looked good. I mean, it was delicious. And the food just kept coming. It was appetizer style. So, you know.
How does that work?
Food from the moment you walk in to the moment you leave out, and people are just passing it around.
So no plated. Oh,
no,
wow.
Plated. We had a couple stations that had you know, like key items on there, and open bar, but everything else was.
I love that. That sounds like a party, and I like that kind of atmosphere where you can just eat and you don't, you're not being served. Because sometimes that's,
it's not a serving time.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, that takes away from the momentum of the night where you have to be seated, you have to pick something.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. People eating while we, you know, first dance. I mean, they just, they didn't stop eating.
I love that.
You know, we had the hookup in New Orleans. You know, my mama know everybody, my dad know everybody. You know, it just, you got, it was good.
Good.
So, what about, because I know when I, before I was married, I didn't do a lot of clubbing, but I, the clubs I did like to go to, remember the name of that club in D.C.? It was on Connecticut, and it was $20 on Wednesday. It's like Club 2030.
It's not there anymore,
but it was $20 on Wednesday. They had a free buffet, well, the buffet with the
$20. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 1223.
1223, yes. Yes.
1223,
yes. That was the club I went to. That, because that was, you know, it, it linked. You know, and every, the food was good.
It sure was.
The drinks were good, and the crowd was nice. I mean, I think that's important.
When there was no place like 1220.
Oh my gosh, I can't even believe all you got for $20. Like, I just feel like it was a buffet style. For real.
Yes,
they kept it hot.
True buffet.
And it was like some good food.
And you was home by 9.
We have to give the readers just a little context. We all went to school in Washington, D.C.
Howard University.
Howard Heights.
Yes. So, you know, the club scene, college students, when you're broke, you're going to pay $20. You want to make sure
there was nothing like the 1223.
Yes, you want to dance,
open bar. I mean, it was nuts there. It was absolutely nuts. But clubbing and food, what do you think?
Clubbing and food. For me, now it's totally different. When I was a college kid, I wanted to get every bang for my buck. Mm-hmm. So if I'm paying $20, which seemed like $1 million back then, I want food, I want drinks, I want my favorite songs to be on, and, you know, and I want everything to be coming out fresh.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was back then. I feel now that I'm more moving into the lounge scene. You know, a menu of a venue with a menu is very important to me, because when I'm not two-stepping, I want to be eating.
Exactly.
So it's always food has to always be on the menu. There always has to be a food option wherever I go. And you know what I like best about clubbing and food is that when you go to a venue that has good music and the drinks are good and the food is good, you don't want to leave. Just like the spot.
When they,
you know,
shut down the food, it's time to go home.
That just reminds me also of the spot we're talking about in Harlem, Corner Social. It's like that kind of place where, you know, you can get, you know, a good burger, a great drink, and you know the music and the atmosphere is going to be
right. Well, now,
y'all
said that was like Common Share, but you couldn't get no food at
Common Share. Oh, you couldn't get no Common
Share. Common Share was cheap drinks, and that was it.
Yeah, Common Share was the cheap bar in Adams and Morgan hangover that we would always go to when we were at Howard. And,
and you couldn't get any food. You would leave Common Share and
go to
the diner.
You couldn't get any food. In general, I'm not big on eating at the party.
Gotcha.
I'm not big on that at all. I actually hate it. I actually hate it. But that's not to say that I don't do it. The thing is that I have to know that you care about the food. And most of the time that I'm going to party isn't necessarily a place that I'm going to eat.
Right.
So that's a big thing. But what I will say is that there are places so now that we are older, I think that our crowd, but I totally think that this is a thing, even if, you're in your early 20s, fresh out of college. The brunch parties have become a big thing.
Yes.
You know, brunch parties are now the
And may I say that brunch is not now big. It's always been.
It's always been a thing. Yeah. It's always been a thing. But now the party elements have come into it, right?
Absolutely.
To the point where I have been very vocal about my hatred towards brunch.
Uh-oh, we gotta talk about this.
I have been. But there a couple of things. One, brunch parties are that was a big reason why was because I always felt like I'm trying to get a good meal, mm-hmm. and I just feel the insincerity of my brunch yeah. meal. All brunch meals are prefixed, like they right. have what they're gonna have, so you know they're kind of making it for volume. They're not really making right. it.
See,
with,
that's the new
with,
brunch,
with,
though.
With, that is a new brunch. That is a new yes. brunch. But what happened is that a couple of places have like kind of I've come around on, and that's because more restaurants have seen the value
exactly.
in having a
it's
true party
to have brunch yeah.
and a true turnout brunch.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a monthly party at the Cecil in mm-hmm. Harlem called Have Plenty.
Okay.
My friend Lauren Grant throws it.
Okay.
And it's a brunch party, and they just had one this past Sunday. And the Cecil was actually voted the best new restaurant in America by Esquire magazine last year.
Okay.
And the Cecil is excellent. Chef JJ is a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and excellent, excellent chef. But they have things on the menu. They have your chicken and waffles,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's good. They have this their take on French toast,
mm-hmm.
super rich. Very sweet, very good. But my favorite thing is their roti pizza.
Ooh.
They do a breakfast style pizza with roti
what?
Bread.
Oh, that
yes.
sounds like my favorite.
Black beans, an egg. It is, I love it. I
wow.
absolutely
a
love
Caribbean
that.
Caribbean breakfast yes. burritos.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The Cecil. This Sunday.
Yes.
You won't get the party brunch, but the next one is going to be next month. They only do the Have Plenty brunch next time. And it is a full-on turn-up. It is a 100%, like you're back in college. Like,
oh, wow.
It is Young Thug.
Turn
it
up.
Is Lil Wayne.
Oh,
it is,
this
it
sounds
is,
like a wife-beater jeans kind of
is,
party.
It is definitely you're standing on couches and stuff like that.
Wow.
You're eating you're eating
fancy.
Yeah, you can eat well. There's another spot, more of a lounge area, that my girlfriend and I go to called Fat Buddha. Very, very cool spot down in the Lower East Side. And we love their pork buns.
Okay.
You know, they serve great pork buns. So we were there like 2 weeks ago just at the bar, turning up,
turning up is always on the menu.
It has to be eating our
pork buns. Yes, you can go to. You brought up Red Rooster earlier, and
yes.
downstairs, Jenny's. You
yeah.
can turn up there, and you can eat well there too.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's possible now, more possible than ever.
Yeah.
What I don't like doing is like disturbing my turn up for the sake of. Yeah,
it's true.
I want to turn up
and
turn
up
all through. Yeah,
yeah.
And let me keep it 100. All right, because I don't know if you ladies look at us men the same way, but for me, okay, I see a woman fine, dancing, getting her groove on. She got a chicken, in her left hand. That takes a point away.
Okay, but let me represent for the ladies, because how is it that the brothers can be on the dance floor with, you know, a half-eaten slider?
They should
you
not,
know?
Though. They
that,
should
that,
not.
And
they
see,
should not,
what
though.
I'm saying is,
okay,
if I'm cute and you, like, I'm doing my thing, right, and then you ain't know because my right hand was down. But then all of a sudden I bring it up. You all can't see this. But you see a slider.
I got two bites.
It's done.
And you want to walk away. I can't blame you for walking away.
No, yeah,
this is
the
true.
Food
I can't blame
off
away.
The dance floor,
yeah, come on. Stay off the dance
yes,
floor with me.
You
know what I'm saying?
Table and turn up,
yeah.
you know, food free.
Like, you getting full right in front of me. I can't.
Yeah,
no.
yeah. yeah, I agree. Okay, you win this round. I agree.
it's no double standard. I just feel all of us.
Yes.
Can do better.
Agreed.
Our mama told us not to be dancing at the
agreed.
Table.
Agreed. Don't play with your food.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't dance with them either. Don't dance with them.
Quit all that dancing at the table.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I love it. No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
Yeah, calm it down a little bit.
Eat before you go to the party, ladies.
Sit down. Yeah, sit down. Well, if you gotta eat. Yeah.
Take a seat.
What's good to you? The food or the song? You ain't gotta stand up.
Maybe she's feeling both of them. Like, oh, this is my jam. You didn't have time to drop that slider.
You know, when the beat drops, sometimes you just have to flow with it. And you may have a piece of chicken in your hand. But you know what, ladies? If you smooth, drop the chicken first. Tim from CK, just drop the chicken. Joseph's looking.
Does the dynamic change when we're talking about sports bar? Because, you know, you're yelling at the TV screen, team. No.
I think it's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's a different vibe.
Are we hypocrites?
No. I just think that...
Eat at the sports bar.
Yeah.
Eat at the sports bar. Eat at the bar.
But everybody's eating. So it's not like that one person who's kind of... Everybody has something.
It is. Because, like, I think a better comparison would be, like, the brunch party. Mm-hmm. Where you are going to eat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's part of the reason why you're there. Right.
You're going to the club to dance and turn up. Right. You're going to the sports bar to eat and watch the game.
So if you go to the brunch party and your meal comes, take a break. Sit down,
mm-hmm.
eat your food, then get back up and turn up.
Absolutely, I agree.
Don't stand over the table
and take a bite and then keep driving.
Yeah. Oh.
And don't dance with me with food in your mouth.
You all got to see this. Yeah, we're all doing our own variation of what we absolutely don't want to see.
Don't want to see
it.
Just you at home listening. Just mimic your dance move. While eating chicken.
Exactly. Yes.
And ask yourself, is that sexy? I'm sure
it's not sexy.
Nah,
for the ladies or the men, it's not sexy.
Nah, it's not.
Not at all.
Nah.
I like how CK said a slider. Because the deal with...
You saw the
visual,
right?
A slider is real. A deal would say nah to the chicken, but it's not. Nah,
get slider. That slider right there. Can you put a piece of cheese on that too before you go?
And I've seen it, so I'm speaking from experience.
A slider, that is hilarious. It ain't any more acceptable than the chicken.
I love it. Well, our time is coming to an end, but I got four questions for you guys. I call these my quick pickle questions. You guys are familiar with a quick pickle?
Yeah.
I'm not. Tell me about it.
So a quick pickle, see, in America, we think a pickle is a cucumber that's, you know, soaked in vinegar or whatever in a pickling liquid, right? But actually, a pickle is anything that's soaked in that pickling liquid.
Okay.
So you can pickle a radish, you can, you know, pickle an egg. It would just be considered a pickle. Okay? But quick pickle happens quickly. I mean, less than 20 minutes.
Okay.
So we're going to have our quick pickle questions. I got two choices. You got to choose one.
Okay.
All right? It's like ride or die, last.
Lightning round. Okay, lightning round. Ready.
All right. Butter or olive oil?
Olive oil.
Mm. What about you?
Olive oil.
Olive oil. Nigiri or sashimi? Mm.
Sashimi.
I think I already know Josin's answer to this. Hard liquor or wine?
Hard liquor.
Wine.
Need that brown.
We got two opposing on here.
Need that brown.
2% or whole milk?
Whole milk now.
See, I don't drink milk.
You don't drink milk?
No, so I'm
not the cow's milk.
I'm a silk milk girl. Soy milk. Can I have like a little sidebar?
Well, you would say it's 2%.
2% probably.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm gonna go with that.
2%,
okay.
2%. Now why? Why those choices? Why?
Why all of them? Why olive oil?
You said
at the beginning?
Yeah.
Olive oil. I just love olive oil. It's just good on everything. I actually cook all of my food in olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just baste the pan with olive oil. But then I top everything with olive oil afterwards. I just like it. I just really like olive oil because it just, you know, it just adds a nice little flavor and texture to everything that you cook.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot lighter than butter. And I feel a little more health conscious when I cook with olive oil.
The lightness is there, but there's also that nuttiness to the taste of it. And I feel like I could taste some high quality olive oil,
mm-hmm.
And you can taste the nuance between like a low quality olive oil, and I don't get that wide of a disparity when I'm dealing with butter, so to speak.
Right.
There's also a little bit more versatility, I feel, in all of that can happen in all of
it. Absolutely, I agree.
True, yeah. True.
Right.
I would have picked the olive oil, but I do love my butter.
Butter's necessary for some things.
Butter helps with texture a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could always
get
the creaminess of it. You can, you know, sometimes I'm making my eggs in olive oil, and sometimes I'm making them in butter. And nine times out of ten, that the eggs made with butter are going to come out a little bit creamier. So, yeah, definitely. What was the next one?
Nigiri or sashimi?
I just love fish.
Yeah.
I just love
fish. But you get it in the nigiri.
No, I just love the raw.
Oh, just the raw fish on top of the little patty, right?
Yeah, there. Like, if I'm going to cook salmon, I have to cook it quick. So that I won't eat it like a bear. I'm big on there's nothing like a fresh piece of like ahi tuna.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
The same way. I just really like the texture.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, the texture.
The texture is so good.
That's a big thing with sushi.
and
sashimi. That texture is like why you're getting it. Like,
true.
Full flavor by itself. It's like a robust flavor that just comes
out.
I mean,
it's a star. There's nothing that you could hide behind it.
True. Right.
You
exactly.
know what I mean? And so it's so.
See, I'm a sushi lover. I think in my past life I was Asian, but
I just feel
some kind of way about just don't sell it to me per piece or two pieces, you know?
Yeah. No,
sell it to me like you sell me the nigiri, you know? Like,
I agree, that's how you know it's a delicacy. You know what I'm saying? That's how you know it's high grade.
I'll pay for the high grade.
Well,
I think that if anybody's out there listening, I think
they should.
There's a market for people who will buy, you know, absolutely, an 8-piece sashimi meal. Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's what's great about it is that you have to enjoy it and eat it slowly and you know, really savor each bite because that's all you get.
This is true. This is true. And we already know hard liquor or wine. You guys are sitting on two opposite ends of the earth with that one.
Well, we know why. I mean, for men in general, you know, I feel like they feel cooler with hard liquor anyway. They feel cooler with, you know. I think that's what it is. It's a cool factor. But, you know, for me, I just love my wine. I like to unwind. You know, after this, I'm about to go home and pour
and drink more wine.
And drink more. I'm actually going to buy the bottle that we were drinking tonight on the way out. This Villa Wolf. It's surprisingly really refreshing and tasty, and I just really love wine.
Well, I will admit that when I first started drinking brown liquor, it was because there was a certain romanticism that I associated with it.
Did Ansel and Trey get you?
No, it was just something that it wasn't anybody specifically, it just seemed like a more grown up thing. Mm-hmm. But then when you really get into whiskey, scotch, bourbon, and you get into all of that stuff, you start discovering a whole world that is as interesting as wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I haven't had all the scotch and all the whiskey or in the world, but I keep on going back to a scotch whiskey blend called Monkey Shoulder.
Monkey Shoulder.
Yeah, it's called Monkey Shoulder. I went to and it actually is the one that kind of made me start caring more about the whiskey that I drink, because I went to a bar. It was a whiskey bar. Called Rochelle's. The long name of it is Leave Rochelle Out of It. That's the long name of the bar, but it's called Rochelle's. It's down right before you get to Chinatown, kind of the Soho area. Mm-hmm. And I go in, I don't know what I want, so I'm just like, let me just get a Jameson on the rocks. And he's like, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to give you this thing called Monkey Shoulder. It's much better, same price point, but better than Jameson. Trust me on this one. And he gave it to me, and it is so smooth, and there's a smokiness that I really like that comes with my scotch that I'm totally into. It's the same reason why I'm into mezcal versus over versus tequila. I like the smokiness of it.
Yeah.
So just that, you know, scotch has that much of a flavor profile, and every new one that you order potentially can hit you
in a different way.
In the same way that Monkey Shoulder just hit me and I started caring. So that's what I started putting my, you know, putting my money towards. And I'll be the first to admit, look, I don't really drink casually. I drink to drink. So, you know.
That's a little more than social. Okay, every day.
You know, but no, it's too turn up. It is too.
It is the precursor.
I don't have it 24/7. I have it when I'm ready to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And so scotch, whiskey will get me there.
Easier and quicker than
than the wine will.
Yeah.
And I'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, true. Well, for our last question, what was the best meal? Or actually, you know what? If you had to have your last meal on this earth, what would it be?
Oh, this is so hard. I love so many things. Take it away, Jillian. I gotta think about this one. I gotta think.
So my favorite food, period, is tacos.
Okay.
So I would definitely have some steak tacos. Now, where I would get those from, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would hope. But steak tacos, corn tortilla. Give me the
cabbage or lettuce.
Lettuce. Just because sometimes like that cabbage, I'd rather the lettuce be an addition than an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what happens with cabbage is that has a bitter taste to it. When you don't do anything with it, when you do something with it.
Some people just shred it and put it on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And for all that, I can just get lettuce.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? With less of that bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but steak tacos would probably be it.
All right. I think I'm going to have to go with Jamaican style oxtail with rice and peas.
Okay.
And plantains on the side. I mean, you just can't go wrong with that meal. That's actually my favorite meal. And when I'm thinking about what I want to eat before I leave this earth, I want it to be savory and ridiculously rich. And if you've ever been to Jamaica, you know that there's nothing like some stewed oxtail and kidney beans. You know, that rice and peas, it's just, like, the flavor is ridiculous. If you like spice, you know, that's it. But this, for me, it feels like home. And I want to go home feeling like home.
This is true. I'm just thinking about those oxtails. Oh, man.
What about you, Bert?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Isn't it?
It is a very tough question.
There's so many things that I love, but I just, tacos were the first food that I ever loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first food that ever, so my relationship, I kind of had to honor it.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's probably a million other things I would love, but I got to honor it.
I guess how I'm feeling today, if I had to have a last meal, I'd probably say mac and cheese. But not just any mac and cheese. I mean, at least three cheeses.
Mm.
Not just elbow noodles. Give me some orecchiette pasta.
Yeah.
It's depending on which chef you think about or which chef you talk to, they may say to bechamel or not to bechamel, but I'm a friend of a bechamel sauce. So I'm I'm all for it. I think it adds to the creaminess to it. I know how to do it the old-fashioned way, putting everything, a true baked macaroni, but I like the bechamel. And then I'd have even add a little sriracha in there.
I like a little spice in my macaroni.
I'm on the fence. I'll add some type of seafood, but I'm not sure what. I'm on the fence between crab and lobster.
Lobster neck.
And then, of course, some crunch on top.
That sounds great, too. I'll take both of your last ones.
And I want one of them now, so now I
have oxtails. As a matter of fact, where can I get some good mac and cheese, brother? I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for, coming, spending time with me.
I had so much fun chatting.
It's good
thank
to see you guys
you.
Again. You. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know.
Great catching up.
We'll have to, keep in contact so we don't have that many years in between us again.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Definitely. Well, this is Bert signing off, and I'm headed back to the kitchen. So I'll see you guys next week for another episode of At the Dinner Table. Have a good one.